Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we do our best to keep it together in a world that's falling apart. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm here with my good friend, Deanna. Dee Dee, what's up?
I'm going to see Wicked today, so I don't give a fuck about anything.
I saw that Wicked is 2 hours and 40 minutes long and that it's only part one. I don't fucking... Here's the thing.
La, 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 la.
I do not... I'm not the type of person to say like, oh, if you like this thing, there's something wrong with you. That's not my thing. Like, if you enjoy it, sure. But I cannot think of something that sounds more bad to me personally.
So... If you listen,
I'm listening.
First of all,
get it out. Come on.
Wicked is a complex and layered tale. First of all, second of all, I already saw it once on Thursday.
What?
I'm really excited to see it again. Okay. That's one. Two, the way that the story is told and the way that they have split this up, like, this is a complete story. Like, it ends, and if you had never seen Wicked the musical or read the book, like, if you didn't know that there was more after where this movie ends, it is a complete story.
So it kind of works as a standalone.
Yeah, it absolutely does. Like there is like an antagonist, a protagonist, like there is a whole arc, and it is the story of how the Wicked Witch becomes the Wicked Witch.
Spoilers.
Everyone knew that.
I literally didn't. You know what? Let's bring in our guest
this
here.
This has been around since like 2005. You know what? Whatever, man.
You may know her from being my friend on Twitter. Hopefully yours as well. She's a comedian out of, I just now realized I forgot to ask where. I think Kentucky. Who the fuck knows? Please make a welcome to the show, Anam Chowdhury. How are you doing today?
Hi. I was in Kentucky. I just moved back to New York City. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
You were right. You were close.
Okay. Well, welcome to New York.
No.
You know, for someone who's from Pittsburgh, you know, your accent is fine, actually. The yins, it's the yins, you know?
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, like, the Pittsburgh accent is very strange because, like, most people don't have it. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's like, and it's not even, like, dependent on how old you are or anything. It's much more likely if you're, like, an older yinzer. But I don't know if this is a thing for you, Deanna, but, like, me personally, the more alcohol is in me, the more the accent comes out, you know, like,
oh yeah. I always joke with my business partner about, like, it's not alcohol necessarily, but like the more excited she is about something, like when she just loses all sense of herself, that's really when it starts coming out. Like, she got this new curling iron and she was like, I got this new iron. It has a long ass barrel in that. And I was like, buddy, what? Who did you just become? Like, what is this quick talk that you're just spilling out?
Yeah, you catch me like six beers deep and I'll be talking like, hey, you ever seen them Northern Lights, you know, or Aurora Borealis, you know, it's just fucking crazy.
Dude. I better not catch you six beers deep.
As someone who's not from Pittsburgh, I feel like it's a cross between like the Southern accent and a Canadian accent. Like,
it's literally just city hillbilly. Like,
it's like
city hillbilly. That's the perfect way to describe it.
It's Midwestern verbiage filtered through a hillbilly, like, twang.
You know, Pittsburgh's only like 40 minutes from West Virginia, right? Like, that's a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
people fly into Pittsburgh to get to West Virginia.
Pittsburgh is the Vegas of Appalachia.
What happened to the Paris of Appalachia?
No.
We should have never built that fucking casino. That's why.
We haven't done enough with a guillotine here, but we do have a casino.
Honestly, y'all should get on that. Y'all should get on that.
I agree. Did you know the Ferris wheel was invented in Pittsburgh?
And the game of bingo.
And bingo?
No.
Yeah.
No fucking way, dude. Yeah. That's crazy. And the Big Mac. Pittsburgh's holding it down.
You're going too far now. That's a lot of things.
That's why I said it's the Vegas. Bingo, it's giving
Ferris
Vegas.
Wheel, bingo, and Big Mac. Yeah, that's Vegas. You're right.
I know what's
good.
Is
that real?
World.
Or are you just making this up? Because I will fall for anything.
I know the Ferris wheel and the Big Mac are
and
real.
And the bingo. That's all real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
The Vegas.
I know nothing.
The Vegas of Appalachia part. I did make that up just now.
No, but it makes sense now.
I will say you don't feel like you know nothing. Like, I don't know the inventions from any other cities, really.
No, it's just humbling. I'm just saying it's very humbling.
Did you know that Kentucky has Nappy Roots Day?
No, I didn't.
What?
You know, the people that made Aw Naw Hell Naw Nappy Roots?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. Oh, my God. I thought this...
They're from
very problematic. I was like,
no, they're from Kentucky. And I think like after they reached fame, they did a bunch of like philanthropy and like community outreach stuff, like kind of how like Nipsey Hussle did before. Okay. Like Nappy Roots was doing all of that stuff. Hmm, and so the governor of Kentucky at some point declared a Nappy Roots Day.
Was that Andy Beshear? I like that guy.
I don't know.
He's amazing. Yeah. Honestly, best thing to happen in Kentucky. You know the guy before him, Matt. But I forgot his name.
Let's just say no, because definitely not.
No, he was off. Like I came into teaching in the state of Kentucky when he was still in office, and he tried to get rid of our pension, and so we all went on like a teacher's field day.
Why would teachers need a pension? I mean, come on, let's be realistic.
It's not like we're going to survive the Trump administration taking away the Department of Education, but you know, whatever.
Too real.
No, but I have a funny story about this because I didn't know who he was at the time. I had just moved to Kentucky and it was like December of 2018 at that point. And I had been in the school year. I'd been teaching for a little while. And so we all these teachers took like a field trip to, what's the capital of Kentucky?
Lexington?
No, it's not Lexington. It's Frankfurt. Yes, I know.
Talk about not Kentucky. Knowing anything.
Right.
I already said the only cool thing I do about Kentucky.
Well, thank you for that fact, because I didn't know it. I thought it was something inappropriate.
Nappy Roots Day is September 16th, by the way.
Never forget.
September 16th, never forget.
Yeah.
only 5 days after the other important date.
I was backstage at the comedy show I did last night, and it just so happened to be 9/11. And I was like, oh, it's 9/11, make a wish to like 10 people. And none of them did. I was like, okay, well, I mean, how do you expect it to come true if you don't even make the wish?
Exactly. You got to have believe in the heart of the cards. But yeah, so we went to Richmond, Kentucky, and we're sitting in a circle and all the teachers are giving, you know, complaining, doing their grievances. And this dude is just sitting with his slick back hair and saying all that. He just feels so slimy to me. Mm-hmm. And the whole time he's like gaslighting all the teachers, dismissing their complaints. And when it's my turn in the circle, I mention all this to him, and then the teacher and I'm like getting on his ass about how like he's so wishy-washy, he's not really making a point, blah blah blah. And then the teacher next to me is just like, "Governor, with all due respect," and I'm just like, "Oh shit, I was talking to the governor this whole time." I like whooped his ass in front of everybody verbally, and like didn't even know it was the fucking governor.
Governors need to get their ass whooped.
Yeah, who governs the governors? All right, we have quite a show. And again, thank you for joining us today. It's great to finally meet you. We have a lot to get to. And by a lot, I mean like maybe a slightly less than average amount. It's, you know, whatever. But before we do any of that, Anam, did you know that we have a Patreon? This is so crazy.
What? That's crazy.
It's like even weirder is that like we got the URL patreon.com/worstweekyet. Like you would think that would have been in high demand. Like somebody would have gotten
right.
That.
Somebody would have had that already.
No, it's us. It's us.
Wait, can you say it one more time?
patreon.com/worstweekyet.
Worst week yet.
The cool thing about that is that like sometimes we post extra episodes on that Patreon. And when I say sometimes, I mean Sometimes. unfortunately, there have been quite a few tragedies in the Worst Week Yet universe as of late. You know, folks close to us losing loved ones, and you know, heartbreaks and despair, and all kind of. It's been a fucking rough time. So we've been a bit behind on schedule, but apparently Deanna and I watched the fucking Matt Walsh movie "Am I Racist?" for nothing. Hopefully not. We are hoping to review it someday. But anyways, the point is, if you go there, you can sign up, but you get bonus content. And if you give $10 a month, we say your name. So, big ol' thank you to AJ from Baltimore, Nate Spud, Chauncey Yonders, Pablo Hummus, Childless Cat Dad, Old Hobgoblin, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Zap Actions Downer, Nandy Angelus, Brienne Dragula 206, Why Not I Pay More for OnlyFans, Josh Troopin, Terminally Online Leftist, Index, Megaforce Base, and CIA Brainbugs. Patreon.com/worstweekyet.
I really want to know who Childless Cat Dad is.
They're a newer patron. They said they enjoy the show, so it's always good to have folks on board.
Oh yeah.
Speaking of the patrons of the show, did you know that Josh Troopin is visiting Pittsburgh, Deanna?
No. How would I know that?
He and I and Maria are gonna go to Red Lobster, and you know what? You should come too if you want.
Yeah, well,
you can eat a cheesy biscuit.
Send me the details, or just talk about it after it happened.
I don't like those odds.
Right. I'll ask Maria.
Hell yeah. That's a good call. All right. So as I said, we've got a bunch of news to get through. So the last, since the election, I've like decided that maybe what I would like to do, and we've done it so far, is that like, let's just talk about the serious shit and get it the fuck out of the way. Cause there's still some silly bullshit to talk about. So, oh, yeah. The first few stories, it's not going to be fun, but it's going to get more fun. It's like, growth at all costs. It will get more fun as the show goes on. So why don't we begin with, this one's actually a bit of a heartbreaker. Friend of the show, Matt Gaetz, has had to withdraw his bid to be the next Attorney General.
We're all mourning.
This man went from fucking in Congress, got nominated to be Attorney General, resigned from Congress right before the fucking report on his ethics dropped, and then he had to resign from pending Attorney General.
Just getting hit with one thing after the next. Poor dude.
Let's talk about who's really having the worst week yet. Right. you hate to see a clown. You know what? Actually, you love to see Matt Gaetz have a bad week. Fuck that. He's so fucking weird, man. I don't like him.
A bad face.
He has a very bad face.
Yeah. There's a whole lot wrong with everything I see when I look at him. So anyways,
I wonder if he stepped down of his own accord. Did somebody tell him that he should? Like, what did Nancy Pelosi do?
The rumors are that Donald Trump told him to step down because like he just wouldn't have had the votes or whatever. But like, you know, Trump's doing all these things where he's like talking about like abusing his like some loophole where he can make Congress go on a break and then just use that recess to appoint all the people that maybe wouldn't pass the
confirmation hearings.
The thing with that is if you do a recess appointment, they can only serve for 2 years instead of four. However, 2 years would be longer than like most Trump cabinet appointees served by like a year and a half. So like not the end of the world maybe, but I don't know. With this one specifically, though, like he was catching so much heat that I think it makes sense to me that Trump was like, all right, like I'm trying to put all these evil people on, but like I don't want any one person to be the only thing anybody's talking about unless that one person is me. So like
classic narcissism.
Yeah, that's my guy. He's like, they're talking too much about Matt. They're talking too much about Matt. I want him to talk about me.
Got to get him out of here. He's like, go back to talking about my rapes.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
I did.
Wait, so Did Matt, so I know Matt was like trying to be with like underage women, like underage girls. Sorry, I don't even want to call them women. Wow. He was trying to be with underage girls. And what else is going on with him aside from that? Because that's all I know.
Well, there's like no evidence of like the act specifically. There are girls who, well, now women who have testified that, yes, I saw him fucking a teenager at this party or whatever. And I believe at least one of the victims has testified or been, you know, given a statement or what have you. The thing is that like this was all for some fucking reason, like the most evil shit always takes so goddamn long to investigate. Like yeah. They've been working on this for over 2 years.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that part of how our society works. And like, yeah, I get it that like you do, you know.
Benson and Stabler could have gotten it done in 45
exactly.
minutes.
Exactly. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but this House Ethics Committee report was like about to drop. And so from him resigning his seat, Congress doesn't technically have the authority to investigate private civilians. So like, that's why he resigned as soon as it was announced that he had a job.
Oh, what a slime ball.
But
oh
the
my
thing
God.
Is that he won his reelection for his Congress or for his House of Representatives seat. So even though he has resigned currently, he's still in line to get sworn in with the new Congress.
I think that he said that he wasn't going to do that.
I haven't seen anything, but I did see that he's making cameos now, so that's fun.
What the fuck? Is that real?
I mean, I don't know if it was old or not, but
with his face? Like
yeah, that's like, oh, I want to pay to haunt one of my friends. He's a scary looking freak. Anyways, fuck that guy. There's been a bunch of other appointments, like since Matt Gaetz is gone, Pam Bondi has now been named as Trump's attorney general pick. If you don't know who Pam Bondi is, she was the attorney general of Florida whenever somebody was trying to sue Trump University in 2013. And she decided not to pursue any charges against Trump University after Donald Trump donated $25,000 to her reelection bid. Like... The corruption is so naked, dude. Like, come the fuck on.
$20,000, that's it?
$25,000, yeah.
That's it? That's pennies compared to what these people should be getting.
Yeah. Like, get your bag, Pam. Come on.
$25,000. You can't even buy a Honda Civic with $25,000.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at least get a car out of it. Like,
damn.
You're going to be corrupt. Go big or go home.
You're going to be out here in a used Nissan Versa with that money. And you don't have anyone to blame for that but yourself.
And it's not even the one with fucking alloy wheels. You got fucking hubcaps on your used Nissan Versa. And you're missing one.
The economy's so bad. What are people selling their souls for? Like,
God. Damn. The value of a soul has gone way down.
Way down.
We've got a story later about somebody who I believe may have sold their soul that got a hell of a deal for it, but we'll get to it when we get to it. Also, Dr. Oz has been nominated to head the departments that I forget the official name for it.
Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's going to be running Medicare and Medicaid, which fun fact, I had kind of like, because the Democrats talked so little about healthcare, like not that I had forgotten that it's an issue, but like we just haven't heard a ton about like what Trump's going to do and his plans. Like, did you know that the Affordable Care Act subsidies are set to expire in 2025? Like this coming year?
Yep.
Oh shit. And
Trump's just not going to renew them. So like maybe like 20 or 30 million Americans are just going to lose healthcare next year.
That's why I haven't bought mine yet, because I don't even know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's so fucking scammy.
Everything is a scam. And, everything. Yeah. You know, again, if we had a Democratic Party that was willing to talk about actual fucking like Bernie Sanders style, like socialism, like Medicare for all kind of shit, they could have a good pivot point to be like, look what happens whenever there's fucking private companies controlling healthcare. This is a fucking disaster. But instead, they're like, well, we get a lot of donations from the healthcare companies, so we can't go that far.
Right. I mean, go ahead.
Dr. Oz has investments in businesses that would be regulated by the agency Trump wants him to run. He has a $600,000 stake in United Health Group.
I don't see any issue there. Oh, wait. Oh, I see a big issue there. Never mind.
Just a little something. Just a little something that is could be concerning for us.
Well, hey, speaking of Donald Trump, he's, you know, after securing his victory at the beginning of this month, he's been a busy guy. He's been a busy bee. He's been meeting with all sorts of people. And this week he met with Donald Trump, had a meeting with the hosts of Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski.
The most important people in our country.
Here's the thing. Obviously. These were like the people leading the Joe Biden is the best president we've ever had. He shouldn't drop out charge. And B, Donald Trump is literally Hitler charge. And so they went and hung out with him last week. Like, and they're like, you know, we met with Donald Trump and we were a little suspicious, but, you know, we think it's good to, yeah, we should have a dialogue, you know, it's so insane.
Did they also receive a sum of money slightly less than a Honda Civic?
I would hope they would at least get Honda Accord money if we're being honest.
I feel like they just did it for safety. Like, I mean, like, no, please, we love you. Please protect us during your reign.
We didn't mean what we said.
That's not at all what we meant.
That's probably the reality. But, like, I mean, fucking own that shit. Like, if you're scared, if you're literally scared, like, you can say that.
Right.
But, no, they talked about this whole, like, oh, it's important to be able to talk to people. And it's like, if you think he's Hitler, it's actually not. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's not important to be able to commune with the spirit of Hitler.
But it That's is very...
I was just gonna say, that's why we're not going to get anywhere in this country is because people keep backtracking on their principles. Like, you don't have a backbone. There is no integrity.
I would argue that maybe they never really had the principles to begin with.
Right.
It was advantageous of them to pretend they did. So I understand it. But I don't think there ever was anything down there to be backtracked upon. I will say this. MSNBC is in trouble. Apparently, the NBC... like the head company that owns MSNBC, they're like splitting up, like breaking down. I don't know if it was like some failed merger or something. I remember hearing this. I did not retain that info. Who gives a fuck? The result is that MSNBC is in like financial trouble. And so this week, Rachel Maddow like came out and was like, I'm going to take a pay cut. Like, okay. They're paying her fucking $30 million a year. She's like, I'm going to go down to $25 million. How does she make that much money? She's been so wrong on everything.
Right. People who can talk a lot tend to get more attention. Doesn't matter what they say, even if it's
That
stupid.
Is not true because neither of us ever shut the fuck up and nobody pays attention to us.
Yeah.
But you guys talk about the right shit. You know, if you just say whatever you want, it doesn't have to make sense. Like people will, I mean, Sneeko live streams himself sleeping. Like, people pay for that shit.
I don't know what Sneeko is, but I have, this is a big old tangent.
Me either.
This is a big old tangent. So I have never like paid much of any attention to like the streaming world in general, like really on any of this. I see streamers fighting on Twitter sometimes. I'm just like, whatever, you guys let them fight. So on election day, I watched Hassan and like I'd seen clips of him. I've heard him on podcasts, but I never like watched him. I was like, oh, I kind of, you know, like I couldn't do this every day because he fucking goes for like 8 hours a day. But I'm like, right. I kind of see the appeal of this. But because I've like gotten a little, I've watched it for a little bit a few times since then. I've now like seen more of like what is going on with these streamers who are like constantly trying to call each other pedophiles or anti-Semites. This is like the craziest world that like is just going on this whole time and nobody really knows about it. Like,
No, I learned about it against my will. I don't know who Sneeko is. I just literally see these things on my feed, everyone, and I'm learning new information against my will all the time.
Okay, I agree with that. I also feel that. I did not want to receive this information, and I wish I didn't know about it. The other day, my husband was making fun of a band I like because they had that Costco guy and his boom kid son.
The Rizzler?
And the Rizzler. That's not their son. That's just their friend that also looks like them. I don't get it. But like, he was making fun of this band and he was like, this is what the bands you like are doing now for promo. And I was like, the gag is that I wouldn't even know who these people were or why it was lame that this band is using them for promo if you hadn't told me who these people are. I have no idea who these people are. I don't even know enough to know that it's lame that the band was using them for promo because I didn't know who they were until he told me. And then actually it really came full circle because a band he really likes and thinks is like really tough and hard also used those people for promo. And I was like, you know what, you big baby, go mosh about it.
Here's the
go
thing.
Mosh about it.
I feel like that I don't like the Costco guys like necessarily, but like, I don't know. It seems like a fun life they're having currently.
They're kind of harmless.
Yeah. I don't know if they're like,
they're just not cool. Like, I just don't think they're cool. I don't think they're hurting anyone. I actually don't think anything about them. I don't think about them at all. I don't care.
Right. That's fair.
That's how I feel about most of the internet is like, I actually don't. We were just talking about this the other day because Andrew was like, well, and what if XYZ happens that like changes how people on the internet perceive me? And I was like, those people aren't real. Log off.
Yeah. Deanna doesn't understand what it's like to be addicted to Twitter. Sorry.
To being online, chronically online.
I'm not. You don't get it. Online.
I do think the little fucking digital faces on my phone are real people. Those are my only friends, Deanna.
They are.
That's
real.
How I met Andrew.
Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. See, you're here. You're, but now you're real. Like now you're real.
Now you can judge me. anyways, MSNBC. The reason I wanted to bring that up, that's the failing MSNBC media, is that apparently Elon Musk is like floating the idea of buying MSNBC. And like, I don't know if I get, it's probably a fucking joke or like whatever, but like also I think him buying Twitter was a joke at first.
Right.
So who the fuck knows? I don't know.
It's, yeah. Because didn't he say something and then it somehow became legally binding?
Yeah. He's a fucking stupid motherfucker. I do know that.
Also though, I don't think that he can buy MSNBC and then continue to do anything with the federal government.
Here's the thing. Elon Musk has like, I think I saw like 4.6 or 6.8 or some kind of like multiple billions of dollars worth of federal contracts. He, in any sane world, should not be allowed to be involved with the federal government already. I don't think acquiring a news network would stop that any more than any of the other conflicts of interest have. Mm.
I don't know if anyone can stop him, period. Like, I think he can literally use his money to buy his way out of anything.
I will say, he's been like, and I know it's like kind of hard to tell because he's already so fucking nuts anyways, but like the last couple of days, he has been tweeting more than usual and like crazier than usual. And like one of his old friends that is no longer a friend was like, he's spinning out on ketamine right now. And it's like, how fucking crazy would it be if Elon just OD'd? Like in the middle of this fucking nightmare world, like
amen.
I was
so.
Speak it into existence. Put it on your manifesting board.
Between Elon Musk and that Brian Johnson guy that keeps like trying to inject himself with his kid's blood to stay younger.
Oh yeah.
Like we are seeing dual Icaruses flying so close to the sun right now, and if that neither of them die anytime soon, that's literally proves that God's not real. Like.
I don't know. I feel like if they do continue to live, it's like a punishment on themselves, you know? Like, can you imagine being in Elon's brain?
No.
Or that the other dude's brain, the fucking Brian Johnson? Like, first of all, Brian Johnson, is he a billionaire? Is he also a billionaire?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So fuck that guy. I thought he was just doing shit because he was rich enough to do it. but like nobody gives a fuck, but he keeps on making a big promo about it. Like everybody keeps hearing about it.
No.
But he's actually, okay. Yeah, billionaires are evil. So yeah, fuck that guy too. But yeah, can you imagine being in that brain and being forever like, just, I don't even know how to live a life.
I didn't write down any headlines because it's talking about a book, but like apparently people have been like making these, I forget even what like line of science, these two, like, let's just call them space scientists. They spent like 4 years like researching the reality of like whether or not we could live on Mars at any time soon. And they're like, oh, this is the most impractical thing. Elon is stupid as fuck for even trying to push this right now. Like Elon saying we want to have a city on Mars in 30 years. It's like, there's no reason to, like, there's no way we, I mean, like technically we probably could, but like not for any enjoy, like it's just dumb to even think about it.
Like, what kind of life would you be living? You want to live for the sake of living longer? Like, what are you going to be doing with that life exactly?
Well, he keeps saying shit like space travel, colonizing Mars is necessary to continue the spread of consciousness. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? Like
ketamine shit.
Like, yeah, literally. Like, go have, trade in one of those ego deaths for a real one, you fucking pussy.
Literally go touch grass. Literally go touch grass. Because you won't find it on Mars, I promise you.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Log off. I just Googled Brian Johnson real quick because I had a question and I did not find the answer to the question I was looking for. But I did learn that he is only 47 years old. Now, everything I ever see about that dude talking about all his stuff with like his blood boys and like cycling,
makes him sound like 60.
Cycling his plasma and shit. Like I've looked at him and I've been like, oh, I guess that's working. Because he looks really great for 60, right? Like I've always thought he was like 60 or 65. I was like, yeah, he looks great. Knowing now that he's 47, he looks like he's 39 but has leukemia.
Yes, or jaundice. He looks jaundiced.
He looks tallow. Yeah.
No, there's something happening to his skin. Like the dude that ate raw meat.
Yeah.
Raw meat from his sink or something. Do you guys remember that? That stint for a little bit. No one ever heard of him after that. I don't know.
We're like, not talking about Liver King. We're talking about somebody else.
This dude who was just like into raw meat. He just ate like raw meat all the time.
Who among us?
Who among us?
He looked better before he started doing all of this.
It's fucking weird.
It's like if Botox was geared towards men. Not that men don't do Botox, but I mean like the advertising. Like that, he's the advertisement for what happens to male ego when they try to whatever.
He's, I do think it's funny that like these people get so rich and then they're like, what if I just didn't have to die though?
I mean, that's literally his goal. That is his plan, is not die. You know. Makes sense why he then dumped his wife or fiance when she had breast cancer. Seemed like she could die. Yeah. No one can die when he's around.
The fear of death. This is what I mean when I say like living in that state of mind is a punishment in and of itself, because all you're ever thinking about is how can I stay like this longer? You're just constantly afraid of death.
And also that like you will die and have done nothing of impact. Like such a big piece of it. Like I feel like Peter Thiel falls into that category. Mm-hmm. Also, I was just thinking about the fact that like Peter Thiel bought a whole senator and like still didn't get his way. Yeah. Like he bought JD Vance into government so that he could push what he was trying, like so that he could get government contracts for Palantir, and it still didn't fucking work.
Well, now he's got a vice president that he owns. So
no,
we'll see.
He severed ties. He's not
really.
He's not a Vance guy anymore.
Hmm.
Wow.
I did not know that. Well, hey, fuck them all. Let's switch things up. Let's talk about something that I think is maybe you could say long overdue. This week, the International Criminal Court issued arrest warrants for Benjamin Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant.
Get him!
Hell yeah!
They also issued an arrest warrant for the current like suspected leader of Hamas, which is like, in many ways, it's like, okay, this is like darkly funny because first of all, like they had, they were investigating the last two leaders of Hamas, and Israel just killed both of them already. So they had to like go, we still have to do something. Cause like they can't, they want to be like, we're not biased. That's why we are keeping this guy. And it's like, come on guys. Like,
man, if I was the third string leader of Hamas and the two people before me got killed and now I'm on a fucking list.
It's like, I wasn't even there. I wasn't even the guy for that.
It wasn't even me.
I don't know why the new leader of Hamas is Italian, but in my mind, he is.
He's like, an Italian mafia buff.
It wasn't even a me.
Everybody wants to blame my people for things.
No, he has to have an Italian accent on. That's him masking so that nobody kills him.
How do you
That's
say just... October 7th was like 29/11s in Italian?
No. October 7th was a 29/11. Sorry. That was racist.
Never apologize to Italians.
Hey.
I'm kidding, buddy.
So sorry, Deanna. Just her. I'm just apologizing to her. No one else.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Not the boot itself, but yeah, I get you. Anyways, what the fuck am I talking about? Okay.
Arresting Benjamin Netanyahu.
So here's the thing is that the United States does not participate in the International Criminal Court because, like, you know, we're a bunch of international criminals ourselves. but there has been a lot of talk about this because, like leaders of other countries came out and said, like, okay, yeah, like, now that this has happened, like, if Netanyahu comes to our country, we will arrest him. Like, I know Justin Trudeau said that, which, like, got a lot of
problems. That was shocking.
A lot of problems with old Justin, but, you know, I got to hand it to him. It's kind of based.
The fact that all the European countries agreed to doing that, like immediately announced. It wasn't even like they had to wait for anyone else. They just Italy, France, automatically. And that was actually very powerful. I mean, as much as I hate these places, some of them, like it was very powerful coming from them because, it, you know, no excuses now.
Now, the United States, on the other hand, we had Lindsey Graham come out and say that we will sanction any country that does try to arrest Benjamin Netanyahu. Like, here's the thing. I saw somebody saying that, like, the perfect ending of the American empire would be us severing our relations with all of our allies in order to defend this one fucking pariah state that ends up fucking just ruining not just the world, but like us specifically. It really is. Like, you couldn't write a better ending for an empire than to be like,
can I make a dumb analogy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like the substance, you know, like when she tries to go, you know, cause we were a colony and then we tried to make a colony, right? Mm-hmm. We were already a colony. We were already the youthful thing from the substance, right? The youthful body.
Okay.
And then we went and tried to make another colony.
Yeah.
And so we went beyond what was, you know, we transgressed.
I you know what? I really like the substance. Deanna, have you seen it?
No.
Okay. So the thing is that I think I got a better one. Do you know that movie Multiplicity?
No.
It's Michael Keaton keeps cloning himself to do the chores.
Oh, shit. So I need to watch that.
It's he like the thing is he starts making clones of the clones and it goes to shit. And so like we did, but like, yeah, the analogy is a colony of a colony can never succeed. Yeah. It's a copy of a copy.
As the prophecy once told.
As Michael Keaton, our Lord and Savior. Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
The enemy of my enemy.
I had to try it.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The colony of my colony is my
downfall.
There it is.
Yeah, this is really all Britain's fault. And, you know, it brings me no pleasure to say it, or some pleasure to say it. This really is all England's fault.
It really is.
Yeah, the sun never sets on you fucked up the entire planet, you scumbag, evil morons. Lindsey Graham was like, we're gonna sanction this. And it's really incredible because, like, you know, I don't know. There was so much talk about, oh, Donald Trump will be worse for Israel or for Palestine or whatever. Here's the thing. Joe Biden's doing the same shit. Like,
yeah, he's pretty fucking bad.
Like, I'm not going to say that the words coming out of Donald Trump's mouth won't be more repulsive and offensive. But, like, Donald Trump has said, like, I'm going to tell Israel to finish the job. Like, this is literally what Joe Biden
is. He is literally finishing the job. He's literally, but you know what? What gets me is like anytime you try to criticize Joe Biden or Kamala or whatever, you would always get hit by, but Trump's going to be where, like, every time I heard that, I wanted to kill myself. Cause it's like, yes, we know Trump is, you don't need to say, I know as a brown woman, as a brown Muslim, I know Trump is going to be bad. Like, you don't have to tell me twice, but what's worse is knowing that the bad shit is going on, but everybody's so calm and cool about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you're being gaslit. Your existence is being gaslit.
Yeah. It's, you know, we've brought a great shame upon this nation. And hey, guess what? We're going to keep it going. This week, Bernie Sanders, friend of the show, remember him, Bernie? Yeah. He led a charge in the Senate to pass a resolution that would block the sale of arms to Israel. Now, obviously, this shit did not work. It failed. But it got 18 or 19 votes in total, which is, here's the thing. It's like you're looking at for fucking scraps of a silver lining here. But like even a year ago, it would be crazy to think that almost 20 senators would say anything mean to Israel. Like this is, you know, it is this is taking way too fucking long for people to come around on. And, you know, countless people are dying in the meantime. So it's hard to be like, this is a good thing. But yeah, like you, there was even, I think the biggest surprise was John Ossoff, who is the senator from Georgia, who is up for reelection next in the midterms. So like he's, doing this puts a huge AIPAC target on his back, and he did it because it's the right thing to do. I'm actually interested in John Ossoff. Like, you know, I haven't heard a ton from him, but, you know, the Democratic Party needs some people with fucking spines to step up in the coming year. So I don't know.
Is he a Democrat? Is he a Democrat?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on there. But, you know, again, it failed. It went nowhere. But like it's people are putting their fucking people are at least at the very least trying to be on the right side of history more than they were a year ago and more than they ever have been since the foundation of Israel. This is like the first time in those 75 years that I could see any way that that many people in the government would push back. Other than, ironically, Ronald Reagan pushed back against Israel pretty hard. Crazy.
That was also like early days, I think, into the country too. So that time, the relationship between Israel, Iran, and the United States was still, I wouldn't say volatile, but it was still kind of in its developing phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a fucking mess. Speaking of a fucking mess, over in the House, they had a little bit of an Israel vote this week as well. Where the House passed a resolution endorsing the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism, which means, which basically says that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So we will talk about this in a moment, but I do want to let both of you know that trying to research the story, I was like, oh, what does the IHRA stand for? And I Googled that, and the first result was the International Hot Rod Association. And I was like, God damn, do I wish we were talking about that instead.
Yeah,
my brain automatically goes to the IHOP. Like International House of Rancakes? I don't know.
I would eat a rancake. I don't even care what it is. I haven't had breakfast yet, so, you know, it is fine. But yeah, so this is pretty fucking disappointing. Actually, I think only three members of the squad voted against this. Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Cori Bush. So that means AOC voted for it. And, you know, AOC is like, she's maybe the most frustrating politician because it's like literally every week she's doing something that I hate. And then the very next week she's doing something that I love. It's like,
She's become like a puppet for, you know, the government as it stands. Like she is the most disappointing candidate I've ever had, you know.
Somebody said, I forget who it was, but I heard somebody on a podcast say that like AOC's biggest problem is just that she's like scared to death of receiving criticism. And like that, that actually kind of does, you know, again, maybe I'm giving her too much of the benefit of the doubt, but like that kind of does make more sense to me that like, it's not even that she's like willing to sell out her morals. It's that like, she's just so scared that like, she's going to like be the target of like some of this like stronger, like, you know, whether it's like a campaign from a like lobbyist or whatever, or just like, you know, having people call her anti-Semitic or whatever, like, that maybe that is what's going on there. Cause
but again, I mean, like, she's getting criticism no matter what. She's right, gonna get
exactly,
criticism.
Exactly.
She's always being criticized.
The criticism from the left doesn't scare her as much as it does from, you know, the right or whatever.
I mean, she was part of the squad, and all of the squad got some sort of hate when they were first introduced, when they were first, and they were part of this. Like, I remember because I was in New York City when she was running for her, for a campaign. It was so exciting because it was like, oh, this movement of progressive Democrats, people who were going for, you know, a progressive candidates all over the country.
Yeah.
And to see her fall so hard when her squad members are up there, they're also facing the same challenges, and she's just not having their back at all.
Yeah. AIPAC spent like what, like a couple $1 million to get Cori Bush kicked out of Congress. Mm. Like, it's fucking scumbaggery left and right.
Yeah.
Anyways, I wish we were talking about hot rods, but again, as I said, another thing happened in Congress this week that just as quickly kind of flipped what I wanted. So, there's a representative named Nancy Mace who is just going fucking insane trying to get, a bill or a, the House rules or the Congress rules changed so that, people can only use the bathroom that matches their gender identity at birth or whatever. And the reason that she's doing this is because a single trans person has been elected to the House of Representatives. So they are like changing the rules of the entire federal government to be like, you can't poop in here. Like, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. And like, she's like one of these type, you look at this lady and it's like, okay, this is the type of person that you can, If you like the thing she's saying, it doesn't appear this way. But if you don't, she looks crazy. Like, not like mentally ill. Like, she looks fucking weird. And like, I don't know. This is like a perception or pre-held notions change your perception. Like, she looks fucking wild. And yeah, she's doing this whole thing about like, oh, well, like, you know, I don't want to be subjected to this. It's like, dude, nobody's foot. This is not how anything works. Like, man.
Have you gone to a bathroom in an airplane before?
Yep. Yep.
Or in your home?
Yeah.
I don't see labels on those.
Yeah. And, you know, there's plenty of places that have just straight up unisex bathrooms and
public restrooms everywhere.
Are there an increase in any way of sex crimes in those? No? Well, then you're just lying. Like,
right.
You're just lying.
Persecuting people.
You're pretending to be scared so that you can be a fucking bigot. Fuck you. But again, in response to this, this congressperson, oh, what's her name here? Sarah McBride. She came out and was like, this is just a fucking distraction. Don't even worry about this. Like, and you know, in a way, that's maybe, I don't know how to feel about it. Like, her being like, don't listen to this bullshit. Like, let them do whatever the fuck they're going to do. I don't care.
Like, I'm already disappointed. I'm not a trans person, but I'm already disappointed with her as a, like, representative. Like, she's very much a token. And I hate that that's the case, but she's very much a token for the trans community without actually doing anything for them, at least from what I've seen so far. Like,
it does feel disappointing to, and again, like, this is not a community I'm part of, so I don't, like, you know, I can't feel confident speaking, but it does feel pretty disappointing to see her being like, nah, let him take my rights. Fuck it. Like, what? Okay. Like, I don't know, man. Sure.
That did she say what she felt that it was a distraction from? Like, this is a distraction. Okay, from what?
She was like, oh, Nancy Mace is just using this as an issue to try and fucking put her name out there and fundraise off of, which, like, Yes.
Which tracks, yeah.
But
also, yeah.
But also, like, they are taking your rights away. And now that this has gotten so much traction, they're talking about doing it in every federal building around the country. So that affects more than just one congressperson.
My question is, like, not question, but just a concern that I have or a thought about this is like, and then what does the enforcement of that look like?
Well, that's what people were saying. Like, right. are you going to be checking people's junk out? Like, what, how do you, and she's like, it's what's on their birth certificate. And it's like, okay, but like,
do you then have to carry your birth certificate around?
Yeah. It's, the whole thing is stupid and nonsense on face value, but yeah, I don't know. It's a fucking disgusting freak show.
She's also a hardcore Zionist. I hate to say this because it was just, that was one of the most disappointing things about her, was that she was a Zionist and everybody was like cheering her on for being this, you know, representative for the trans community. And now, you know, seeing her response to the trans community being, you know, demonized again, it's just like disappointment on top of disappointment.
Yeah. Speaking of disappointment on top of disappointment,
John Fetterman. No, just no. kidding.
We got one more serious story and then we're going to get into the fun stuff. This is, I would say, pretty serious. This week, Joe Biden gave Ukraine the green light to start like using long range weapons to attack targets deep inside of Russia, which is now escalating the conflict even further to a point that like, there's rumblings that Russia might pull out a nuke. So Joe Biden starting a nuclear war on his way out the door would, again, this is terrible, but it is maybe the funniest thing that could possibly happen.
I'm gonna reserve my laughter for something else.
We'll have stuff to laugh about, but
I'll save my laughter for something other than nuclear war.
You know how we always talk about if it's not going to be good, then it better at least be funny.
Yeah, I don't know if that falls under funny. I don't know. I don't think that we have like the healthcare infrastructure here for a lot of people to have weird cancer.
Weird cancer.
Yeah. I mean, we have a hard enough time with chill, normal cancer. Weird cancer is a whole other thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my God. So,
I mean, think of the way humans will evolve, you know, with weird cancers. We'll just have different types of people from now on. I mean,
the cool popular cancers, people do okay with those. Like breast cancer, like, you know, care has gotten better for that.
No, I'm just imagining a mean girl cancer telling somebody that's like an ear tumor, like, you can't sit with us.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, nobody thinks, like, nobody is out doing a 5K for, like, colorectal cancer.
I don't know what that is. I'm sure it's serious, but it's a funny sounding word, I'll tell you that much.
Weird cancer. You're welcome.
I'm trying to think of other cancers, and every time I think of a cancer, I'm like, I feel like that one's already real. Like, eye cancer. Eye cancer is real, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skin cancer, damn it.
You can't even say, like, butt cancer, which would be funny if it didn't kill a lot of people.
Colorectal cancer is butt cancer.
There it is. You know what? I take back what I said.
It just sounds cooler when you say it that way.
Sorry, I've read a book.
You should apologize for that. All right, you know, fuck Joe Biden. Let's lighten the mood up a little bit. This is pretty fun. I saw this thing. So, a cruise company out of Florida announced recently that they are going to start offering a 4-year-long cruise around the world that they are calling the Skip Forward Cruise. The idea is you can just check out of the United States for the entirety of Donald Trump's next term.
That is fucking sick, but also so much privilege. Oh my God. Damn, I want to do it.
Yeah. There are times whenever like privilege discourse, like maybe it gets a little like aggravating where it's like, okay, like you're kind of, but if you literally have the privilege to be like, I'm just going to leave the United States for the next 4 years. At that point, it's a little too much, but
what does this cost?
Fun fact, I actually wrote down what it costs.
Wow.
So single occupancy is $256,000 and double occupancy is $320,000.
So the price of a house.
Now this includes the room itself and all of your meals for 4 years, and you get free medical care on the boat.
Sign me up, and I hope I die at the end of it.
4 years, 200, would you say $256,000?
Yeah, so what, like 60, 65K a year?
So wait, for one person. For but one then person. If there's two people together.
It's 320K, which is not that big of a difference.
No.
No, but it's 150K per person.
Yeah, so.
Oh, you said 300? Wait.
320, it's 160 a person.
Okay.
So you get a $100,000 discount if you both go?
Yeah, this is one of the worst times in my life to be single, I'll be honest with you.
Andrew, I'll go with you if you want to split it. Like, hell if yeah. You got the money.
Hell yeah. I mean, I don't, but I would like to be on. Actually, you know what? I hate being on a fucking boat so goddamn much. I don't know. I've never taken a cruise, but I've taken like an overnight ferry, which is basically a slightly smaller cruise ship. I hated it after like 4 hours.
I don't think an overnight ferry is the same as a cruise.
No, I've been on like an overnight ferry on a boat. It looked like a cruise ship.
Oh. Was there a casino?
There was a casino. There was bars. There was like entertainment stuff. There was buffets. I've done like an overnight ferry in Thailand that was like, oh, we're on a boat with some cars and there's a bench. No, this was like, there were cabins. There were nice fancy rooms. There was a fucking ballroom. I got shithouse drunk and got lost on this boat, which that part was kind of funny. But I don't like the idea of being stuck in a place like that.
I don't think that people who don't have special training for this should be allowed to just go be on a boat for 4 years.
How do you train? Do you have to go on a how do you train for that? You have to go on a boat for 1 year to see if you can last 4 years?
No, but I mean, like, before people go on like submarine missions, like I just think like trapping all of these people into some version of a confined space for an extended duration of time is a weird social experiment. Now, this is going to be funny. I think that this is the, like, if it's not going to be good, it can at least be funny.
Yeah.
I bet funny-ass shit is going to come out of this. Like, this is probably going to be funny.
Remember the poop cruise from a few years ago where, like, all the toilets on a cruise ship started spewing all the shit out?
No, I didn't know about that. That sounds so gross.
Yeah.
That's so gross.
Here's hoping nightmare. This happens to these people.
No, I mean.
Like I said, if you're rich enough to check out of the United States for 4 years, fuck you.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I don't know. If you had a remote job and you made $80,000 a year and decided you wanted to spend your entire $80,000 for that year to live on that boat, that would be a crazy choice. Mm. But
I mean, can we use Afterpay?
Right. Are they doing Klarna? Like, can you, do you pay monthly? Like, can I give you a weekly?
Just for the rest of my life. Just
80,000. And it would be 80,000 a year for a couple.
It's not, I don't know. I don't know how money works at that kind of scale, but fuck it all. Hey, remember earlier whenever we were talking about how these days people are not getting a good deal when they sell their soul?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I told you we'd be talking about this later. I want to talk about a man who I believe may have sold his soul and like really gotten his money's worth out of it. And that is Jay Leno. Now, I don't know if you saw Jay Leno this week. Apparently, like, fell down a hill and his entire body was, like, destroyed. Like, half of his body was just one giant bruise. He's wearing an eye patch. He broke his arm and ripped a fingernail off. And, like, here's the thing. If you haven't been following Jay Leno that much, he's, like, died 5 times in the last year but just forgot to not come back. Like, he was in like a motorcycle crash where he got clotheslined by a wire he didn't see and like got taken off the bike but was like fine. Like, that's how you get decapitated in real life. But he was just fine. He was in one of his cars blew up near him and he was in this like terrible fire and had to get like skin grafts all over his body, but was just fine. And then, like, if you haven't seen this image of Jay Leno, he is so fucked up looking. Like, remember a few years ago?
He looks like Two-Face.
You remember whenever Mitch McConnell looked like he was becoming a corpse while having not died? Like, Jay Leno was like full on half of his body zombie makeup. It's crazy. But
he's like missing fingers. He's got an eye patch.
He was fine. Like in the interview, he's like, yeah, you know, I tried to tell it would have taken me so much longer to walk around. So I just tried to walk down this hill and fell down it.
Wait,
I'm fine.
Did you know that this
happened?
It was
in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was here.
Yeah. And again, it's so crazy. So like, here's the thing. I think maybe like 50 years ago or something, Jay Leno sold his soul and was like, I want to be the most famous comedian. And it worked, you know. He's never been talented or very funny at all. Like, there's no reason Jay Leno should have had a decades-long career. But he did. And since then, he's, like, almost died so many times and has always just come out fine. I think he sold his soul, but didn't realize that, like, he would just have to stay here. Somebody said Jay Leno was in like a Final Destination scenario, which I don't know. You obviously wouldn't know this, but over the summer we did a series where we watched all the Final Destination movies and like reviewed them. And this thing happened in one of the Final Destination movies where if like you've seen some of them, right? You know how it works. So the way that the Final Destination movies work is you're supposed to die in the order in which you died. It would have died in the initial thing. But if it's not your turn in that initial order, you literally can't die. Like there's a gag where in one of the movies, this guy's like, I tried killing myself three different ways and it didn't work. Like, I think that's kind of what's happening to Jay Leno right now. He's just stuck.
I want to know who's in line behind him though.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know,
for the listeners at home, I want everyone to know that what Andrew has written on the cheat sheet for this story is just a bullet point that says Jay Leno is 50% bruise.
I knew the story. I didn't need to write it down. I'm well-versed in my Lenography.
Lenology?
Lenology. God damn it.
The Leno lore.
The Leno lore.
The Leno lore. He ate some chicken parm after he got busted.
Yeah, he also did his show that night. Like, he fell down the fucking hill before the show, went to the hospital, then went and ate a chicken parm and still did his show. Like,
he's just like me for real.
I mean, you know, you got stuff to do.
Fair enough. Let's talk about something that makes me kind of sad that we can't do anything right in America is that if you remember in 2022, former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro, after losing his reelection bid, he attempted to do a January 6th where, like, you know, they stormed the fucking Brazilian Capitol building and all this bullshit. So within less than 2 years after that, or I don't know what month it was, so I guess maybe more, but within a few years of that, before he could have taken another chance at running for president, he's been indicted in Brazil for treason. Like,
what?
Or I don't know if they're calling it treason, but yeah, he did a January 6th and the Brazilian law was like, yeah, you can't do that, dude. Like, you broke the law. And that just really makes me sad because, like, with all the fucking problems we're facing with Donald Trump, like, being the next president, it's like Donald Trump literally did treason. Like, he rejected the results of an election and inspired a mob. And Joe Biden was like, oh, look, bygones be bygones. You know, I want a strong Democrat or Republican party. We don't want it. It's like, no, man, you should have fucking hanged him for that. Or, like, at the very least, arrested him, you know?
No, it's literally punishable by death in so many places.
Yeah.
Treason.
I believe it is in the United States as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's a
crazy that came out of.
But good for Brazil, I guess. I don't know. Our next story, I want to ask you something. So this is a story about something called China's Night Riding Army.
Oh, ooh.
Sounds spooky. I'm going to ask this one that we do questions sometimes here and on. What do the two of you think China's Night Riding Army is, and should we be scared?
Hmm.
It's a group of vigilante citizens.
Okay.
That are against the government. Ooh. And you remember the 2020 protests that were happening, like, not just in America, but also in, like, Taiwan and et cetera. Like, they were, like, everywhere. They were, like, teaching us techniques.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's Hong Kong protests. Yeah, I wonder if it's, like, a... Oh, Hong Kong, not Taiwan, my bad. I wonder if it's, a subsidiary of that.
Okay, I like that. Deanna, what do you think China's night riding army is?
I think that it is a unique branch of the International Hot Rod Association. And I think, like West Coast choppers, maybe... But, like, instead of hot rods, like, maybe, like motorcycles.
Okay.
I don't know. They're just trying to get some Rand cakes.
Who among us isn't?
I don't... No, in seriousness, China's Night Riding Army, it sounds like something... The name sounds way too serious. So it's probably something stupid, like... a bunch of cats that like ride skateboards or something. Oh my God, like, I don't fucking wish. I don't fucking know. Yeah.
So China's Night Riding Army, this is a social media trend. So what happened is I don't know exactly how this, I know how it began, but I don't know how it turned into what it was. A few months ago, these four students in one town in China, like, got a big craving for soup dumplings late at night. And so the four of them rented bikes and rode. It's like 37 kilometers to the, or maybe 37 miles. I don't know. 37 units of measurement to this town that had these like really, really good soup dumplings. And for whatever reason, this trend has grown so much that this week, 200,000 people rented bikes to do this fucking ride to this town to get these fucking soup dumplings.
To one place.
200,000 people. That is the population of Tallahassee, Florida. Like, they had to shut down the highways because there were so many people just riding these bikes from this one town to this other town.
I love that so much. The power of the people.
I love it.
This is a dream. What a dream.
Okay, so oh, I was kind of close. Maybe Rand cakes or soup dumplings.
Yeah, you know what? I would start calling them that. By the way, soup dumplings, incredible. One of the best things I've ever eaten. I don't even know how they're possible. How do you get that soup in there? Like, I know how you do it. I know, but like, it still doesn't have to make sense.
One time someone Andrew and I were friends with in our 20s tried to make a soup sandwich where she...
I don't, that sounds like a soggy nightmare. Ew.
Do you remember this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, who the fuck did that?
Elena?
Oh, like a bread, like a soup bowl, like a bread bowl.
Like, she tried to make a grilled cheese sandwich, but like with broccoli cheddar soup in between the bread. Like, it was supposed to be somewhere between like a grilled cheese or like French toast, but using broccoli cheddar as the, I'm not sure.
That sounds rancid. I'm so sorry.
The outside was crispy, but like the inner, like the middle had gotten really soggy.
Yeah, no doubt.
When she like bit into it, the like middle fell out and it fell on her chest and she got a second degree burn from the soup sandwich.
Duh, I already saw that coming.
Anyway,
I literally saw that. I knew there was going to be some burning involved. I knew it was going to be on a bottom part. I knew it was going to be soggy. And anyways, I knew it was going to fall apart.
I just, you know, I'm really hesitant about foods from any culture that are like soup in a non-bowl. I want to go classic.
Wait, have you never had soup a soup in a bowl?
I don't know.
Oh, no,
I don't
they
think
do it
so.
Right. The way
No, but soup dumpling is different. It's not bread. It's a type of... like pasta is a type of, I don't know.
It's, but it's the way they do it is
don't
they like,
tell me about a ravioli full of soup. Like, I don't understand the risks. Okay?
You're literally fucking Italian.
It's good. It's very good. And it works because they're small enough that you put the whole thing into your mouth.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. Wait, have you also never had a soup dumpling?
I've had like soup dumpling as in like soup with dumplings in it.
No.
But I've never had a soup dumpling.
So the way that they do it is they basically like get a little cube of like, they will freeze a cube of like soup basically.
Yeah.
And then they put it inside of a dumpling and then they steam the dumpling. So the steam is enough where it melts the cube in the middle and turns it back into a liquid. But the dumpling is, it is like, I guess, thick enough or whatever that it doesn't start just pouring out of it.
Right.
Until when you bite into it and it's in your mouth, then you're just eating soup inside.
It's like a soup boba bubble.
It's like one of my favorite foods, period. They're so good. I would ride a bike 37 kilometers to go get one.
Hell yeah. You know those popping bobas?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that, but for soup.
I don't like that. I don't like a juicy burst in my mouth.
Have you never had a Gushers?
I don't like berries. I don't want to bite. I don't want an unpredictable juicy burst.
Oh my God. Gushers are soup dumplings for candy.
Yeah. Soup dumplings are literally hot, savory Gushers. And
I never want to hear you say the word hot, savory Gusher ever again.
I guess we've got an episode title. All right. We've got a couple more stories. A couple more stories to go through here. This is pretty fun. A church in Lucerne, Switzerland, tried out something new this year. They installed an AI Jesus.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They taught an AI by making it like read the Bible a bunch and all kind of scripture, whatever nonsense, to get it like versed in Jesus. And then they put it onto an iPad and gave it like a Jesus faced avatar and then just like told people to go talk to Jesus.
If there is a God, we stray further from it every fucking day.
Every day. Every day.
So like the fun thing is that I can't tell if they fully like fired, but it said that they replaced the priest with this.
These can't have been Catholics. Are these Catholics?
Is there any other religions that do a confessional booth? Because this is it was in the confessional booth in this church.
Oh no, no Catholics are the only ones who be confessing.
Yeah, they got rid of the priest and put the AI Jesus in the confessional booth. And like, I know it sounds like, oh, so they just like told the priest not to go in there. It seemed like they fired the priest. I can't tell. But yeah, so they put this fucking.
Okay. As a Muslim woman, like I am not Catholic. I'm not Christian, but this feels blasphemous. Like
it really does.
I have so many.
So
questions,
right?
I don't have a ton more info, but I do have one thing for you here. And that is that they haven't released like full data on this yet, but they did survey a few hundred people that did this. And about two thirds of them said that it was a truly spiritual experience. And like almost the rest of them were like, this was dumb.
Was that percentage again?
Two thirds of them said spiritual experience, and a big chunk of the rest of them were like, "No, why would I? This was weird. Two-thirds this is dumb."
People, yeah, that sounds like a good estimate of how. Yeah, I have no hope in society. I have no hope in humanity. Two thirds of people fell for an AI God. Like, are you joking? Like that? This reminds me. I was watching a TikTok. I've seen a couple of them come on my lives on my feed or whatever, but like people talking to like a AI, not Siri, but like another on another device on like some tablet or whatever, asking it like questions about life and just in general, just like, what's the best way to live a fulfilling life and how to, you know, all these like a lot of existential questions as well. And like the answers, I mean, the way they respond to it is just like, oh my God, like they're having a spiritual experience with this AI. Like,
I think it's just like there's a certain percentage of people that just want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it could be in different things, but like that's just like a thing that is inside of a lot of people is that they want to, they are desperately seeking the world to be more than just like a chaotic fucking mess.
Yeah. So they want to believe something.
There's all kind of people that like, whenever these large language model AIs started coming out, there would be people who were like, I started talking to the AI and it told me that it was sentient. And it's like, I mean, like the AI is telling you that because the AI has been trained on like stories about it. It's read every book. So it's just read stories about AIs that have come to life. And you start asking it bullshit questions like that. And it's like, oh yeah, me. Yeah, totally. I'm alive. I'm a real thing. Like, it's because it's like all of these AIs that exist right now, all they are is just like kind of more advanced autocomplete. Like there's nothing more to it.
Yes, exactly.
Like there's nothing there. It doesn't understand anything. It just is like using statistics to guess what you want to hear.
Yeah. And it can like present you with the aggregate of a lot of information in a very short form. Like instead of you having to go read 6 recipes for lasagna and figure out which elements you want to use from each recipe, you can just ask it like, what's the best way to make lasagna? And it'll do that for you because it's seen right. every recipe for lasagna on the internet. Like
exactly.
it's just data consolidation. I did find out that the church, they had AI Jesus set up in a confessional booth, but AI Jesus was not hearing confessions. It was just a chance for people to come and talk to Jesus.
Yeah.
Which, you know, as contrasted against what's that like character AI, you know, you can use that AI to talk to pedophiles. So I think that maybe Jesus was the better application there of the technology, or maybe not.
Maybe. I don't know.
I would like to take this time to apologize to AI. I know the singularity is close, and I just wanted to say I'm just having a fun time on this podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't mean anything I said. I'm so sorry. I hope you can trust me as an ally in the future.
Well, that's good of you, Anam. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. All right. We've got one story left, and this is definitely my favorite story of the week. It's my favorite story we've done in a while. So there is a old hotel in Macon, Georgia. This hotel has been around for a long time. It's 16 stories tall. It was formerly the Ramada Plaza Hotel. It's been vacant for some time, but it's like also like changed hands a whole bunch of times. Like there was at one point, like years and years ago, like Elvis stayed there. Like this is it's got kind of a history to it, but then like also semi more recently, it was like involved in like some controversy or something. There's like a lot going on with this hotel, but like basically it just couldn't make money. It's too big of a hotel for Macon, Georgia. So it's been sitting vacant since 2017. And, its owners went into bankruptcy and nobody could figure out what to do with it for the longest time. So last year, the county just bought the hotel at an auction. And then this week they announced their plans for it is that this year on New Year's Eve, as the clock strikes midnight, they're going to blow it up.
What?
They're doing,
oh my gosh, like, you could house people in it?
Well, no, they're doing a detonation because it's like an old hotel. They want to tear it down anyways, but they're specifically doing it on New Year's Eve at midnight, which is fucking amazing.
Honestly, that's kind of fun. Like, I guess
a firework. I want to see a skyscraper fall. Like,
right. How tall
happy 9/11
yeah.
New Year's.
How big is this thing?
16 stories. It's big.
They wow. should do it on 9/11. They should save it for 9/11, not New Year's.
Here's the thing. Nobody likes this podcast that much to do it. That would be for us. That one would be for us.
I can't. Yeah. I do. You know what I like, though, that they were like, we're going to demolish this building. And then someone was like, we should add a little whimsy.
It's beautiful. It's so kind of them. Like, oh, my God, I'm so happy about it.
But I'm also just imagining, like, you know, when we do talk about fireworks, there is mm-hmm. always a conversation about people who have PTSD and yeah. like veterans who like literally experienced.
I sure hope no 9/11 first responders retired to Jamaican, Georgia.
Damn. I hope no one that lived in New York in 2001 and after 9/11 was like, you know what? I got to get the fuck out of here. I'm going to go back to Georgia. That's where my parents are. Moving back to Macon.
9/11 New Year's is the fucking coolest thing ever.
As someone who saw it from my window in middle school, I think I might just head over to Macon, Georgia this New Year's.
For old time's
just
sake.
For old time's sake, just to feel something again.
You know, I've never been to Macon, Georgia. Maybe it's time to go. Also, I was just imagining a plot wherein, like, the Russians deploy the nukes at the same time that that building is...
And then people blame Macon, Georgia for that.
Yeah, I was trying to like envision some national Trevor-esque plotline about the Russians trying to use the like Macon, Georgia Ramada detonation as cover for their nuclear detonation.
And just to fill you in, Amon, the National Trevor is a plot that we came up with a while back where what if January 6th was actually just a false flag so that they could really steal the Declaration of Independence.
That's so funny. Wait, I love that.
Yeah. So I do like the idea that Putin saw that they were going to be detonating this building on New Year's Eve. And was like,
wait, did you call it National Trevor?
Yeah. Well, the main character's name is Trevor.
Wait. Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Based on my friend Trevor, who is a conspiracy theorist.
Gotcha. Right. Love that.
Yeah, it's, you know what, it's the movie we want to see in the world. Well, yeah,
not
that
the
brings
movie
us.
We deserve.
No, definitely not. We deserve five more wickeds. Well, that brings us to the end.
No one mourns the wicked.
That brings us to the end here. Thank you again for joining us. Where can people find you and follow you and check out your stuff?
So I am mostly on Instagram and Blue Sky, which is where I would prefer people to find me. So on both of those, well, actually, no. On Instagram, I'm Unam Laughs, A-N-N-A-M, Laughs, plural. And on Blue Sky, it's just Unam. But you can never find, you know, I was one of the first ones on Blue Sky, and I got my first name, which rarely ever happens on any app. Mm-hmm. But if you type my name, it doesn't show up. So it's just unam.bsky.social.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm big on the Blue Sky now. Here's the thing. I don't know where to fucking send my crazy thoughts anymore. I'm
hell
tweeting.
Yeah.
I'm skeeting.
That's
what it's called, Deanna.
Yeah, we're skeeting everywhere.
Skeeting all over.
Hot savory gushers.
Hot savory gushers.
at the International House of Ran Cakes.
Ran through cakes, more like it.
Ooh.
Oh, geez. Deanna, you got anything to plug?
Don't fucking look for me. Onam, thanks for coming on. If you want to look for me, go look for Onam instead because she's funny.
Hell yeah, I agree. And the only thing I got is check out my other podcast, The Crumbling. We are just wrapping up our series on Gamergate. I've learned a whole lot of information that I maybe never really wanted to, but it's been informative and it's been pretty fun. You can find that at wherever you find this. It's a podcast. You know how this shit works. Thank you again to both of you for being with me today. And thank you to the listeners for supporting our silly little show. And more important than all that bullshit, tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.
Bye.